Hi, I'm Vince Blackerby. I'm Director of Operations here at Mountain Brook Baptist. I'm going to be reading this morning our selections. If you're familiar with Project 119, you know where we are right now. But I'll tell you the three passages I will be reading will be from Numbers in the Old Testament, from Psalms, and then we'll move to the New Testament in Galatians. So a little background, if you are caught up, you know in Numbers where we are. The children of Israel are being led by the Lord to the Canaan, to the land of milk and honey. But in order to get there, they're going through several other areas that are foreign to them and seem to be sort of a threat to the areas that they're going through. And if you've been listening, the last one we've come to is in Moab, and the king of Moab is Balak, and he's a little concerned. He's seen what's happening as they're going through the territories, and he's decided to take sort of things into his own hands, and he sent for a prophet called Balaam. And so that's where we come to now. What he wants the prophet to do is place a curse on the children of Israel and go through God to do that. And so Balaam is sort of a prophet that's maybe a little unscrupulous, but to his credit, he tells Balak that I will only do what the Lord tells me to do, or tell them what the Lord tells me to do. So that's where we are. I'm going to read. He's already given one what Balak thought was going to be a curse, and it ended up being a blessing for the children of Israel and upset Balak, obviously. So we're coming to the second one of his curses now. He's taking him up on a hill where he can see the children of Israel getting ready to distribute the curse, and they've built an altar with sacrifices up there, gone through the whole thing that he's decided to do. So I'm going to start reading in Numbers 23, verses 13 through 30. They're up on the mountain right now. Then Balak said to him, "Come with me to another place where you can see them. You will see only a part, but not all of them. And from there, curse them for me." So he took them to the field of Zophim at the top of Pisgah. And there he built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your offering while I meet with him over there," speaking about the Lord. Then the Lord met with Balaam and put a message in his mouth and said, "Go back to Balak and give him this message." So he went to him and found him standing beside his offering with the princes of Moab. This is the group that had come to collect Balaam for him to do this deed. Balak asked him, "What did the Lord say?" And here comes the bad news. Then he uttered his oracle, "Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, and they have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest until he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victims." So that was the bad news. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Neither curse them at all nor bless them at all." Balaam answered, "Did I not tell you that I must do whatever the Lord says?" So after that, he hasn't given up. He wants him to try again. And that's where we start in verse 27. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Come, let me take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God to let you curse them for me from there." And Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Balaam said, "Build me seven altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. So that's through verse 30. That's where we'll pick up in the middle of the next curse or blessing on the next reading. I'm going to go now to Psalms. I really love the Psalms. It really gives you a broad look at what David goes through and the blessings and problems that David runs into. And we're going to look at Psalm 31. And this is David's having problems. This is more of a prayer of deliverance. And we'll start reading that in verse 1 and read through the whole chapter. Psalm 31. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock and refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years are groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them. From the intrigues of men in your dwelling you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And our final selection is going to be in the New Testament in Galatians. It's Paul speaking to the people of Galatia. And if you're a regular listener, you've already heard the part of the earlier parts of this as Paul has been referencing them. Really what this comes down to, we're going to read Galatians 5, verses 1 through 12. And it's really the question of Jewish versus Gentile believing, and where Judaizers are really clinging to the Old Testament laws, and Paul's trying to make sure they realize that things have changed with the death and resurrection of Christ now. So we're going to read verses 1 through 12 of chapter 5. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and do not let yourselves be burdened against by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish that they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. So the whole argument there is, don't bury yourself in the Old Testament law. Things have really changed since the resurrection. Pretty wise message there from Paul, and he got a little excited when he was finishing up there. So that's our verses for this time. Amanda, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll see y'all next time. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We're so very grateful and thankful for the many blessings that you give to us. Lord, we ask that you reach into our hearts as we study this word, the word of God, and that we can live that life as you lead us in our daily walk. Lord, let us have more of the faith of David, that he can come to you in time of trouble and sorrow and have the faith that you will deliver to him. Lord, we thank you for this day. Be with all those listening. Let them have a good day. Forgive us for our sins. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.